Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God forever. We're going to live by faith, not by our feelings. Not going to be kicked around by our emotions. We're going to live and operate in the faith of God. And I love faith. Faith makes you solid, immovable, indestructible. Indestructible. No weapon formed against you will prosper when you're in faith. Every fiery dart, his best shots against you, will be quenched by this shield of faith. So we thank God for faith. And we don't want to just be in faith for a little while. We don't want to just use faith like a spare tire when we get into trouble, you know. Next thing you know, we get into a crisis in life and we jump out and we open up the hood and we pull out our faith and we put it on there as a spare tire until we can get to where we need to be. And then we'll go ahead and take it back off again, shove it in the trunk, and just go ahead and operate in our own strength as we always have. That's not how we want to live our life. We want to live our life by faith. Not live in the flesh, not live life in our own strength, and use faith as a spare tire in a time of crisis. We want to live by faith. So it's important for us to not only start out in faith, but to stay in faith. And so if you'll turn with me tonight to Acts, the 14th chapter, I want to talk about continuing in the faith or staying in faith. Faith is more than stepping out on God's word. Faith is walking out his word. Because you can step out on his word in faith, but yet not continue in faith and finish what you stepped out to accomplish or to see accomplished in your life. So over here in Acts, the 14th chapter, the Bible says, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Notice that verse 22 again. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's what the apostle was preaching, Apostle Paul was preaching, and that's what I'm preaching tonight. Exhorting the brethren, encouraging your souls, strengthening your souls to continue in the faith. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 23, it says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard." So again, we see scripture. There's more scriptures, actually quite a few scriptures we could go through that talk about continuing in the faith, continuing to believe. So we want to believe God, believe his promises, step out on his word, and continue to walk out his word in our life. Continue in the word of God. A lot of folks, they'll step out in faith, and then shortly thereafter will become overwhelmed by what they have gotten themselves into or what faith got them into. They'll become overwhelmed because when you step out in faith, you're stepping out in the ability of God. You're not stepping out in your own strength. And so you're going to need the supernatural strength of God to keep you from being overcome. Because when you step out in faith, you are getting out over your head. Because you're getting out beyond you. You're trusting him. So anytime you step out in faith, you are now getting out over your head. In yourself. So you want to continue to trust in him, because nothing's over his head. Nothing's too much for God. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's impossible to him. Isn't that right? But a lot of folks, that's what happens. They believe God, they're trusting God, they step out, and then shortly thereafter, they become overwhelmed in their situation, and begin to cave in, begin to sink. A lot of folks do that with marriage. They believe God. This is the perfect will of God. They get married in faith. They stand at the altar. They believe God till death do us part. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they leave. They step down from the altar. And they begin to go about their lives. And suddenly they realize they've gotten themselves into something that's over their head. They got out beyond themselves. And suddenly they're overwhelmed. It's too much. I can't handle this person. I can't take it anymore. It's too much for me. Right. That's why you got married in the Lord. You got married in faith. You got married in God because it is too much for you. You need God. I mean, think about it. If you need God to handle your own flesh, how much more are you going to need God to handle two flesh? Because the two become one. So now one become two. You get two for the price of one. And you were doing so good with the one that you thought you'd get two. You turn it to two. But you have to realize, no, I need God. I need God. Marriage has to be done in faith. People have children. It's so wonderful. The little babies are wonderful. They want to have children. And shortly thereafter, after just a few sleepless nights, I can't take it anymore. I can't handle it. I didn't know it was going to be like this. It's too much. I'm in over my head. And it's true. You are in over your head because now you don't just have your flesh and your spouse's flesh. You got baby flesh. And that flesh is demanding. And then folks turn around and they have another one. Now they don't just have their flesh or their spouse's flesh or baby flesh. They got child flesh and baby flesh. And they just keep going on from there, getting themselves more and more in trouble. And they just keep, people just keep going on like this, What's the answer? Stop getting married and stop having babies. No, that's not the answer. Do what you do in faith. Do it in God. You got to do it in His ability. We step out in His ability and we stay in His ability. Whether it be a family or whether it be a business, a career, a ministry. God calls you to the ministry. You got to do it in faith. He calls you to it. You step out in what He's called you to do. You step out in faith, knowing that God is the one that is going to bring it all to pass. That's why I love the scripture over in 2 Thessalonians. Or is that 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. It says in verse 24, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I love that. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So what God calls you to, He Himself is going to do. He's going to do this thing through you. You can't do it in your own strength. Whatever it might be, whatever He has called you to do, that isn't just limited to ministry. Whatever He's called you to do, whatever He's leading you to do, whatever He leads you into, He Himself is going to be the one that is going to bring it to pass. And we must never forget that. So many times people start out, I believe God, I trust God, and then they get out there. And they start looking at the circumstances. They start looking at the things that are going on and what needs to happen and what needs to be accomplished. And then they become all me-minded. They begin to focus on themselves and what they have to do to sustain what is taking place. And once you begin to take the cares and begin to try to figure out in your own strength how to sustain things, that's when you are going to begin to fall. You're going to begin to fall. You're going to begin to sink. You're going to experience a crash. Because God is the one that upholds us. God is the one that is going to bring it to pass. And that's what faith believes. Faith believes God is the one that's going to bring to pass what we're believing. And we're believing him. Right? We're believing him. Over in Luke, the 14th chapter, you remember Jesus said over in verse 28. He said, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" In other words, he didn't have enough to finish the job. He didn't have enough to finish the job. And you got to sit down. You got to count the cost. Before you step out, you got to sit down and say, do I have what it takes to finish this? And you know what the answer needs to be every time? No, I don't. No, I don't. The truth of the matter is, you in yourself will never have what it takes to finish a supernatural job that God has called you to. Whatever he's called you to, I got news for you, you can't do it. He himself will do it. He calls you to it, he himself will do it. He'll do it through you, not for you. We have to understand that. A lot of people waiting around for God to do stuff for them. And nothing ain't happening. Nothing's happening. Why? Because God doesn't do things for us as much as he does things through us. So in other words, we have to yield to him. We have to cooperate with him. We do what he leads us to do, but we do it leaning on him. When you're being led by God, you're leaning on God. That's what being led by God is. If you're following his leading, then you are leaning on him. If you're not leaning on him, then you're not following his leading. But if you're going to be led by him, if he's going to lead you into something, then you need to lean on him. And lean on him all the way through it. Through every trial, through every test. And just like we started out talking about over in Acts 14:22, Paul was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So tribulations are going to come. You'll step out on the waters of life. You'll step out in faith. You'll step out on God's word. And rest assured, hard times are going to come. Things are going to come to challenge you. There's going to be tribulations. But be of good cheer. Trust God. Stay with God. Continue to rest in him. Lean on him. Continue in his leading. Continue to allow him to lead you in life, and he will see you through every trial, through every test. I don't care how hot the battle gets, the more you need to lean on him. That only means you need to lean on him that much more. The hotter the battle gets, just lean heavier into him. Trust in him that much more. And know that he's there. Lord, you began this thing. You're the one that's going to have to finish it. You're going to have to be the one to complete it. That's what he says over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun it. He called me to it. It's his problem. I'm just going to trust in him. Now, I'm going to obey him. I'm going to yield to him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to follow his instructions. But it's his problem. He's the one that's got to bring it to pass. It's his will. It's his desire. He's got to bring it to pass. That's how faith thinks. That's how faith talks. Faith completely rests in God. There was a day where James and John, their mother, came to Jesus over in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, verse 21. And she was asking about her sons being able to reign at Jesus' right hand and left hand. It says over in verse 21, and he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. It's a big prayer request. Big prayer request right here. Oh God, make me to sit at your right hand. Let me just be right there next to you, ruling with you. Verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. And then they ran for their lives. Right? The night that he was betrayed, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the troops come to take him, and they all fled. They all forsook Jesus. They all ran from him. Yes, we're able. We're able. I'm able to do it. Yes, I can do it. What they should have said is, what do you mean? Right? Because you know they had no idea what he was talking about. But it doesn't matter, because they're able. They don't need to know the details. I can do it. I don't need to hear the details. I can do it. I don't need to read the instructions. I can do it. I can put it together. And some things that might be true, but many things in life. Thank God for instructions. Right? Sometimes you end up going back, have to do the whole thing over again. Right? But no, I don't need to know. I don't need what this is now. What's this baptism all about? What's this cup that you're talking about, Lord? It doesn't matter. We're able. We're able. That's all self-confidence. Being self-confident, trusting in yourself. It's arrogant. It's arrogant. And so what ended up happening? They ran. They ran for their lives. Now, later on down the road, after they had matured and grown in faith, and in trusting in God and not trusting in themselves, they all ended up giving their lives as martyrs. They were martyred for their faith. And they gladly went to their deaths serving the Lord. So they did get to the place of faith. But at this time, that's not where they were in faith right here. Faith is humble. Faith is humble, and faith recognizes it's not only unworthy. Remember the centurion that came, that Jesus said had great faith? Remember the centurion with great faith? He said to Jesus, he said, Lord, I'm unworthy that you should come under my roof. And Jesus said he had great faith. So a characteristic of faith is recognizing you're unworthy. You're unworthy of the Lord. You're unworthy of anything from God. I mean, we're worthy of death, hell, and destruction. That's what we're worthy of. We're not worthy of any good thing in and of ourselves. But in him, we are worthy. Through the blood of Jesus, we are worthy, right? Trusting in him, what he's done for us, he makes us worthy. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and pray to God and receive from God, knowing that in him, we are worthy. Worthy to stand before him. So that's where our confidence lies. That's where our strength lies. It lies in our faith in him and what he's done for us, what he's doing in us, what he's going to do in the days ahead. It's all in him. It's all looking to him. But in ourselves, unworthy. I am unworthy in myself. Unworthy and unable. Unable. I can't do it. I can't. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. Humility recognizes that. And faith and humility are connected together. If you're going to operate in faith, humility is going to be there. Because they're joined together. And humility recognizes its inability. I said humility recognizes its inability. Faith recognizes God's ability. You got to have them both. You got to recognize your inability and God's ability. But if you think you have ability that you don't really have in yourself, then you're not going to lean fully on his ability, and you're going to get into trouble. So a lot of folks start out in his ability, but then they still have confidence in their ability, and so they only go so far. But we want to go all the way, right? We want to go on to completion. We want to go on to perfect his best. We want God's perfect will in our life. We want his best. Well, then we got to continue in the faith. And one way we continue in the faith is by understanding our inability and that everything is dependent on his ability. We are trusting fully in him, trusting fully in God. Of course, we saw that with Simon Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, over in Mark 14:31, after Jesus said that you're going to betray me. Matter of fact, this very night you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. This very night you're going to deny me. Over in Mark 14:31, Peter responded, he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all the disciples, said likewise. I will not deny you. Now you got to watch that I word. You got to watch that I word. You got to watch that I. It's a great way to catch ourselves. It's a great thing, right? You get a hold of this right here. You can really help yourself. You can locate yourself quick. Get yourself out of a problem before you really have a problem. Keep yourself from a lot of trouble by stepping out into things in pride, in arrogance, in your own strength and not in faith. When you find yourself throwing the I word around, I would never do that. I would never do that. I can't believe they did that. No, I know. I'm able. I can do it. No, God needs to be brought into the mix all the time. We have to have the attitude, I can do nothing. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he. He's the greater one. He. So we got to talk more about him than we talk about ourselves. Think about that. As you go through your day, do you talk more about him than you do yourself? Who do you talk about more, you or him? When you look at a family picture or a picture of you with your friends, who in the picture do you stare at the most? The guy you see all the time or the people you don't get to see very often? A lot of times folks want to see themselves. A lot of times folks will look at a picture, they won't even see anybody else but themselves. And of course, social media has exposed this quite well. This fascination with thyself. Huh? Right? The fascination with ourselves. Well, before there were selfies, just regular photos. Selfies just showed us what people were doing when they just looked at a regular photo of them and a crowd of people. They looked for themselves. Your graduation picture, your class picture. You get 100 people there. Where am I? Where am I? Crying out loud, where am I? I can't see myself. Oh, there, I think, there I am. I'm the one over here. If you look to the left and up 3 people, that's me right there. Okay. And? Don't you get enough of yourself? You got the mirror, you got it, you know. You're with yourself. Why are we so fascinated with you in the photo? So I'll ask the question again. Did you talk more about yourself today than God, or did you talk more about God than yourself today? Forget about the selfies, which is rooted in selfishness. Let's go ahead and have a godly. Oh, hallelujah. Did you see God in the Bible? Did you see God work in that situation? Did you see God the way he moved in the situation today? Did you see how God brought us through? Did you see how God empowered and enabled? Do you see how God taught us and showed us? Do you see? I see God moving in your life. Isn't it amazing how God got you here tonight and put you in the chair and is opening the ears of your heart so you can hear what God is giving through the preacher tonight? He's supplying the utterance and he's talking to you tonight, and he's strengthening you in your faith that you might continue in the faith. Wow! God is moving! He's alive! He's all over the place. Where can I go from his presence? He's all around me. We need to build this God consciousness, and that's called walking in the Spirit. Being aware of God, being aware of him wherever you go, wherever you are, aware of what he's doing, because he's doing. I said he's doing. Did you see the beautiful sunset? Did you see the beautiful sunrise? Do you see the birds? Do you see how he's created this? Do you see how he put that together? Did you see? Seeing him everywhere. If we're seeing him everywhere, boy, it's going to be easy to praise and worship him. Right? Oh, hallelujah. And we'll suddenly start to become overwhelmed with him. Overwhelmed with him instead of overwhelmed with the circumstances of life. Instead of overwhelmed with the trials and tests of life, we need to be overwhelmed with him. Oh, he's all around, completely overcome. Woo, God, he's everywhere. He's all around. He's moving. He's manifesting himself in my life. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's all around us. Can you say amen? That's how we need to be thinking. We need to develop this God consciousness and be more aware of him and thinking more about him, trusting more in him than in ourselves. That's living and operating by faith. That's walking in the Spirit. And the Bible says over in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Are you so foolish?" And he's saying this to the church at Galatia. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Notice that, having begun. See, we're talking about continuing in faith. Faith is God conscious. Being God conscious is walking in the Spirit. It's being aware of the Spirit of God working in your life, and through your life, working in other people's lives. And he says, having begun in the Spirit, having begun trusting in God, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Now, is your flesh going to perfect these things? And that's where religion comes in. That's why we have all these religions in the world. People have these supernatural encounters with God. They get saved. They experience his power. Man, it's alive. It's real. God is amazing. And they begin to come together and they praise God and they have services and they're hearing the word and growing in the things of God. And then next thing you know, they start thinking about how they can do church better than the church down the block. And suddenly, and they can do things differently, and if we'll just add this, and if we'll just do this, and suddenly, all of a sudden, they begin to change things, and they begin to do it now in the flesh. They're doing church in the flesh. They're doing the Christian life in the flesh. And that's what he's addressing here primarily. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected through the flesh? You're going to be made perfect through the flesh? No, you got to continue in faith. You got to continue in the Spirit. The Spirit got you into this thing. He's the one that's got to get you through this thing. He began this thing. He's got to finish this thing. And we got to let him finish it. We got to look to him through it all. Through it all the way to the end. We're going to trust in him. Faith is trusting in the Spirit. Trusting or believing in God. Now I want you to notice that. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Believing in God. Everybody say in God. In the Spirit. Faith isn't just a perspective. Faith is a place. Faith is a place. It's a spiritual place that you and I enter into. Bible talks about over in Hebrews 4 that we enter the rest through believing. It's a place. It's a place you enter into. I'm talking about faith. Faith is believing in God. In God. Not you over here believing in God who's over there. See, we're talking about believing in God. We're not talking about you believing in God over here while God's over there. No, believing in God is literally believing in God. Being in Him. Believing in Him. Being where He is. We believe God in God. That's believing in God. Did you get that? So believing in God is believing while in God. Believing in God is believing while in God. Believing in God is believing while in God. Faith is getting out of yourself and into God, where you rest entirely in Him. So we have to understand this about faith, because a lot of folks, I'm believing God. I'm believing in God. No, actually, I'm believing while in God, which means if I'm in God, I'm in His faith. I'm in His believing. I'm in His ability. See, He's the one that even does the believing. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 calls Him the Spirit of faith. He is the Spirit of faith. You know, you have no faith apart from God. I said, you have no faith apart from God. So believing is having God. It's not over here believing and God over there. God, God, God. I'm believing. I'm believing. Don't you see I'm believing? Believing, believing. That's not faith. That's the flesh. I said that's the flesh. Faith is not this being outside of God or away from God, believing for God or believing for God to do something for Him. Because what a lot of people are doing is that what they're calling faith is that they're trusting in themselves to believe God. They're trusting in themselves to trust God. You can't trust in yourself to trust God. You can't believe in yourself to believe God. That's where a lot of folks are. They're believing in themselves to believe God, to believe God's word, to believe His promises. I'm believing in myself to have enough faith to believe in God. You'll never have enough of anything. He's the supplier of everything. I said, you'll never have enough of anything. He's the supplier of everything. Even faith. We gotta realize, I don't got it. It's all God. And we fall into Him. We sink into Him. We lean into Him. We're trusting in Him to be able to trust in Him. Lord, I'm trusting You to trust You. Right? Lord, keep me trusting You. Lord, keep me in faith. Because if You don't keep me in faith, I'm not in faith. Because I'm not trusting in myself to keep myself in faith. I'm trusting in You to trust to keep me trusting. He's the source of everything. He's the source of life. So we're completely relying on Him for everything. So when you step out in faith, you're stepping out in God, with God, leaning on God, trusting in God. Now you got to make sure you dance with the one who brought you. Don't start out with Him and then come over here and do the tango with somebody else. get all into yourself or start looking to people as your help. Start looking to people to help bring you through. Looking to people to help make it all happen. Because once you start looking to people, that's when you're going to start putting pressure on people. Because that's what the flesh does. Flesh is under pressure and it's putting pressure on others. But faith is pressure free. No pressure. No pressure, not under pressure when you're in faith. Faith is careless, or carefree, I should say. It has no cares. Why? It's trusting in God. I said no cares. Did you catch that? No cares. I don't have a care in the world. Ooh, hallelujah. Just light as a feather. Light as a feather. Not weighted down, heavy, striving, struggling. I'm going to work this thing out. You're going to work it out. You got to make it right. And so fear and flesh is all under pressure. Well, that's another thing that'll help you to locate yourself, to recognize, oops, I'm under pressure. I'm not in faith. Because when you're in faith, you're not under pressure. Simple as that. So you can't make any excuses, and you might as well stop putting pressure on people. Because if you're putting pressure on people, you're the one in sin. You're in the flesh. You're not in faith. You're not in God. You're not trusting in Him. You're not leaning on Him. You're trusting in yourself. You're looking to them. And when you look to other people, there's always going to be fear. When you look to yourself, there's always going to be fear. Because you just don't have what it takes. And in your heart of hearts, even though your pride tries to tell you differently, in your heart of hearts, you know you don't have what it takes. And yet you're acting like you have what it takes. And you're trying to prove to everybody else you have what it takes. And so now you're under pressure. And fear will dominate your life and crush you. That's where a lot of people are. A Christian shouldn't be there. Christians should be growing in rest. They should recognize, identify these things and recognize, no, if I'm under pressure, then I'm in the flesh. I'm going to stop right now. We're not going to say another thing to anybody except to God. Help me. Forgive me. I repent for trusting in myself. Lord, I trust in you. I trust in you. I'm not worried about anybody or anything. I'm trusting in you. God got me into this. And it's God who's going to get me through it. So you're going to dance with the one who brought you. You're going to stay with him. You're not going to change partners halfway through. Say, I'm not changing partners. We're going to stay with him. Or stay with the word. Because that's him, right? He's given us his word. We're going to look to his word. And his word upholds all things. You don't. You uphold nothing. A lot of folks are wearing themselves trying to uphold things. Trying to uphold everything. Trying to make everything work. This is why people die young. That's why people don't live nice, long, fruitful lives. Stress, pressure, trying to hold things up. Trying to hold things up. Now the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that God is upholding all things by the word of his power. God's upholding all things. You and everything else about you. Is that true? Say, God's upholding me. And everything about me. Everything. Absolutely everything. Praise God. Can he do it? Are you sure? You think he's straining? You think he might fail to be able to maintain you? Continue to hold you up? Maybe he'll grow weary with you. Maybe he just won't like you anymore. Maybe he'll just give up on you and just let you go. Is that him? No, that's not him. His mercy endures forever. And he'll never leave you or? Do we believe it? What are we worried about? No worries. God's upholding all things by the word of his power. So all we got to do is keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on him. Because if we don't keep our eyes on him, we'll go under. Right in the middle of the perfect will of God for our life. Think about that. You can step out in faith. Be walking right in the perfect will of God for your life and sink. If, right in the perfect will of God, you get your eyes off of him. That's why the Bible tells us, it says, take heed, you who think you stand, lest you fall. Just because we're standing and things are good now, we understand, all it takes is one step away from him and I'm going to begin to sink. I mean, it's great, man. I'm standing in him. Everything is great. But then there's one step. All it takes is one step. Just one step. And we're in trouble. One step away from him. And off we go. So we understand. We walk very humbly. Trusting in him for every step. We walk by faith. We don't just take a step by faith. You got to step out by faith. Yeah, and then keep walking. Then keep stepping. Keep stepping. Keep walking by faith. You got to keep leaning. Keep trusting. Keep relying. This is faith. We're talking about continuing in the faith. Keep relying. Keep trusting in him. And that's how we're going to get to the end. And that's how we're going to see God's perfect will come to pass in our life. Every phase of his perfect plan for our life come to pass. How? Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't go wrong if your eyes are on Jesus. We see this illustrated with Peter out there on the water with Jesus. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 14. Have people understanding faith a little better. Understanding what it looks like. This isn't works. This is exciting. God's trying to pry the work out of your hands. He's trying to pry pride out of you so that you'll trust in him and not you. Isn't that great to know? If you're stressing, it's because you're not in faith. It's not because of how much money's in the bank account or how much money's not in the bank account. It's not about the bill. It's not about Bill. If you're stressing, you're not in faith. You got the problem. The bill doesn't have the problem. Bill and Bob don't have the problem. And Betty. You got a believing problem. An unbelieving problem. Now, I like this. Because it makes life easy. And I don't have to depend on anybody for peace and joy. I don't have to depend on anybody for peace and joy. Because they're not it. I'm not believing in them. I'm not believing in myself. I'm believing in him. Trusting in him. And if I'm trusting in him, I got peace. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your bills too hard for the Lord? Is your missing it too? Yeah, but I missed it. I've caused the problem. Okay, he went to the cross. He took your problems. He took the penalty of your errors upon himself. Why don't you just go ahead and acknowledge that? Yeah, but I messed up. I know you're really impressed with your mess up. I understand that. But me be more impressed with his cleanup. Be more impressed with what he's done for you and what he's willing to work in your life right now if you'll get your eyes off of you and on him. Lord, I'm not able, but thank God you are. I may have messed it all up, Lord, but I thank you, you make it right. If you purposely messed up, repent. And God will help clean it up. He'll turn it around for your good and his glory. And then if you did the best you knew how and you still think you messed up, just say, well, thank God, God cleans it all up. Praise God, Lord, thank you. You just take whatever it was that I did there and just fix it. If you could turn water into wine, you could make that dull thing sweet. Right? He turned bitter water into sweet water in the Old Testament. He split water. He split seas. There's no reason to panic. If he can split a Red Sea, there's no reason to panic. If a shout can cause the walls of a city to come down, there's nothing to worry about. You're just not trusting. You're just not believing. I believe God. I said, I believe God. That's going to be just as he spoke it to me. Just as he promised me. I believe in the integrity of God's word. I believe he is exactly who he says he is, and he's going to do exactly what he says he does. And I believe he's doing it right now. Woo, hallelujah. So just fall back into him. Just fall back into him. And rest and trust and praise God. Judge yourself when you get anxious. You get mad. You get stoked. You get frustrated. People could just say the right thing and, we start dealing with offense. They just said the right thing. It just sets you off. Well, that means you are in your own strength in that situation. That's all it means. Because they're really not a problem when God's your answer. He's the answer to any problem, so is there really a problem? If God is the answer and you have God, then you have the answer, so what is a problem? I mean, think about that. If you sit down to do a test and you have the answer key right next to you, is it a problem? Now, for the guy that doesn't have the answer key, it's a problem. These are problems, and I need solutions. I need solutions to these problems. But for the guy that's got the answer key, I don't need anything. I don't have any problems. All I got is solutions. He's our solution to every problem. So there really isn't a problem. It might look like a problem, but it's really not a problem because we have our solution. So what we have to do is just make sure we continue in the faith when trials and tests are screaming so loud, trying to drown out the integrity of his word. Trials and tests scream loud, man. And when they come, it's tempting to forget about God, to be blinded to Jesus, to lose sight of him. And we understand the moment we lose sight of him, we're going to start to sink. We're going to start to go under. We see that with Peter over here in Matthew chapter 14. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. You know, that's what Jesus is saying all the time to us when we're tempted to fear. Be of good cheer. I'm here. I'm right here. And panic tries to sit in. No, the Lord's here. No, the Lord's here. Lord, you'll never leave me or forsake me. In fact, Lord, you knew this thing was coming before it ever showed up. You knew it was coming. Praise God. And Lord, I happen to know that my life is more precious to you than it is to me. Because you've done for me what I never would have done for myself. See, a lot of folks, they won't even discipline themselves to not eat a certain food that they like. I know I shouldn't, but. I know I should stop drinking this, but. You don't care enough about yourself to even take care of yourself. He cared about you so much, he was nailed to a cross for you. He's loved you more than you ever loved yourself. He cares for you more than you ever cared for yourself. He cares about your eternal destination more than you ever cared about your eternal destination. He's more concerned for you than you've ever been for yourself. And knowing that should cause you to just rest in knowing, boy, he loves me. He is caring for me. God is taking care of me. Did you see what he did at the cross? Did you see what he did for me at the cross? He was whipped. He was beaten by so that through his wounds, I could be healed. And I'm going to be afraid of sickness? I'm going to be afraid of a disease? Jesus bore that. Jesus took that for me. He cared that much for me. He cared that much for me. He wanted me healed so much that he was afflicted with every kind of affliction. Why would we doubt that? I'm believing God for a healing. I'm believing for a healing. Oh, God, I believe you for a healing. I believe by your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. I'm believing for a healing. Why don't you just believe God, who healed you, who loves you so much, he's not going to let you die prematurely. He's not going to let you die before your time. He said, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If he'll just lean into the secret place of the Almighty, if he'll just lean into me, if he'll just put his trust in me, with long life, I'll satisfy him. I'll show him my deliverance from every evil thing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not believing for anything. I just believe God. I believe what he said. He said he'll cause it to come to pass. It'll come to pass. He said he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. So whatever it might be, I just call it out. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches. I'm not trying to get him to supply all my... I'm believing God that he's going to supply all my needs according to his riches. No, I just believe God. He's supplying all my needs according to his riches and glory because he said he would. Not believing for something. We're just believing in someone. That's faith. Faith isn't believing for anything. Faith is believing in someone. It's believing in God. Trusted in him. Trusted in him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's taking care of us. Glory to God. He's healed me. He's delivered me. He has set his affections on me. He's got me. Before I ever sought him, he was seeking me. I don't have to try to get God to... God, are you listening? Are you looking? Are you stupid? He was looking for you and seeking you before you could even pronounce the name God. He went running after Adam. Adam, where are you? Where are you? And he's looking for you. He's seeking you. He's saying, will you trust me? He runs around throughout the day. Your selfies are going. And God's right behind you. He's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? No, no, no. Be afraid. Be a good cheer. Be a good cheer. I'm here. I'm here. Lord, oh, God. Oh, God. I believe in God. I believe in God. I'm here. And we just keep running around the mountain like the children of Israel out there in the wilderness. They keep going around the same mountain. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And you got fire and you got a cloud following them. I'm right here. I got manna. I got quail. I got waters coming out of rock for you. I'm here. Fear not. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Moses. Moses. Pressure Moses. Pressure Moses. Moses. Do something, Moses. They put all this pressure on Moses. And God's like, I'm here. Think about that. I mean, they're yelling at Moses while there's a ball of fire over Moses' head. It's like God's sitting there going, see the fire in the cloud up here? This fire in the cloud's keeping you warm in the cold desert at night? See that? Fire. I'm right here. Moses! 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 How could you have done this to us? What are you going to do to help us? Moses! That's a... I'm right here. I'm here. Be a good cheer. Sad but true, isn't it? Somebody say, I ain't going around the mountain anymore, no more, no more. Ain't going to go around the mountain no more, no more, no. Ain't going to go around no more, no more. Somebody say, I'm not going around the mountain anymore. No more, no more, no more. Can we do that right now? Ready? Ain't gonna go around the mountain no more, no more. Ain't gonna go around the mountain no more, no more. Something like that. Can you do it better? You got to get a banjo and a tambourine. Ain't going to go around the mountain no more. I mean, the classic is the disciples out on the boat, right? I mean, Jesus just fed over 5,000 people with a little kid's lunch. He just fed thousands of people, multiplied it. And they get into a boat. He's like, all right, let's go. There's a mob of people here. They've all eaten. They're good. Let's get out of here. Let's go. Get the boat ready. So they get the boat ready. They jump in the boat. Lord gets in the boat. They go. They get about halfway out in the sea. And he goes, now, guys, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Did we bring bread? Where's the bread, Peter? Peter, where's the bread? I didn't bring the bread. You didn't bring any bread out of all those baskets? You didn't bring one piece of bread? Oh, he's mad. There's no leaven. There's no bread. And the Lord's looking at him going, what? You think I'm talking about physical bread? I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, man. I'm talking about hypocrisy. What in the world are you thinking I'm thinking about bread? Do you see how much bread I just made over here? We just produced thousands and thousands of loaves of bread. And you're wondering where the bread is. See, they're going around the mountain again and again and again. We're not going to keep going around the same mountain. See, same mountain, same goofy things. We get so excited. God came through. He met my need. He paid the bill. It was amazing. Pastor, you have time for the testimony? Yes, give me the testimony. The short version. Get right to it. Well, what happened was, back in 1885, here comes the big testimony. Praise the Lord. Then the following week, it's like, what happened to them? Something bad must have happened. What? Are you doing all right? Yeah. What happened? Well, I got a notice in the mail that they're going to repossess my car. They're going to repossess your car? Yeah, I can't pay the bill. Didn't he just pay your electric bill the other day? I'm going to turn the power off. And well, yeah. Going around. I think it's time to stop it. Stop it! Stop the madness! Stop the madness. Let's go straight on our way. Let's walk in that perfect will of God, and let's just continue in the faith of God, continuing in the Spirit, leaning and trusting in Him, looking to Him from beginning all the way to the end. He who got us into this world is able to get us there. I tell the Lord all the time. So now, Lord, you got me out of my mother's womb. If you can pull that off, you can finish this thing. You can do anything in my life. I tell him that. I think that's a miracle. I think that's amazing. Don't you? It's amazing. While you were yet unformed, he saw your substance. He saw your substance. I mean, you are nothing. He were nothing. And now here you are. Look at you. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. Praise God. He formed you from nothing. And here you are. He did it, guys. You didn't do it. I know. But somebody walks up and says, you got such beautiful eyes. And they go, thank you. Instead of saying, to God be the glory. I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. Right? Oh, you got such beautiful eyes. People get flattered. They get so flattered. And they just get snared. They become this flattering fool. You'd never get snared by a flattering fool if you gave God all the glory. Give Him all the glory. Hold the praise. And you'll never get tripped up in pride. Ever again, and you'll never sink out there on the waters of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.